try to get some original music. Oh, you got any funny stories for me? You got any funny stories?
Yeah.
Go on, tell me one.
So I was trying to sell balloons in Yunnan province,
okay.
Lijiang.
So in China, mainland China, selling balloons.
Yeah, I was traveling with my wife.
Okay.
At that time, she was still my girlfriend.
Yeah.
So we were trying to sell some rolls because we have nothing to do in the evening.
Yeah.
Some balloon rolls, really nice ones, but in China it's a bit difficult.
Okay.
Even it looks like them,
both Chinese. You're ethnically Chinese, yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like those police came, but people just didn't appreciate them.
Okay.
And Lijiang isn't really like a kid's place, so there's not lots of kids.
All right.
And the adults just, nice, and then they just walk away. It isn't very expensive, too. I think it's like 10 yuan or something like that for very nice, the nicest balloon roses that you've ever seen.
Yeah.
So, this is a situation.
Yeah.
And I also met a couple, the guys from Chile, the girls from Dutch, from Holland, I mean. So, we went to a tourist attraction on the same day.
Yeah.
I literally saved them from some scammer trying to charge them a huge amount of money to bring them up the mountain. Mm-hmm. I took them to the public transport. Those scammers must hate me. Anyway, so I met them, and then we went to the same tourist attraction, and then we say goodbye to each other, and they saw me.
Oh.
Yeah, they saw me on the plaza, that's selling roses and stuff.
Yeah.
And the guy said, oh yeah, maybe because I'm foreign, maybe I can draw more attention. So here's what I'm going to do. So me and my girlfriend's going to pretend that I'm going to propose and draw the people comes here. And then they say, no, we're just selling roses. It's an advertise.
Okay.
So, okay, nice. And I was worried about, when the people know this fake, probably they will be pissed. Anyway, so the guy do the thing, and then people gather, and he was there, and in front of his girl with some balloon roses, and then he took a box out, and there's a wedding ring.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was like, no, it's supposed to be fake. Where did he, like, why would he carry that?
Yeah.
And he start proposing, and his girlfriend was very shocked as well. And people cheers, you know, the cheesy stuff.
Yeah.
And the Chinese people, they're all very happy.
Yeah.
And then he just bought all my roses. I said, no, that's all right.
Oh, wow.
And it turns out to be like a genuine proposal.
It was a real marriage proposal.
Yeah. And afterward, he told me, thanks, mate. I carry this ring in this trip of China for like 2 months, I forgot, like a couple of weeks, and I have no idea where or how I should propose, and now you give me an idea.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's so cool. Hello and welcome. This is Big Ben. This is Meet the Entertainers. I'm talking to Scarlett today. Now, of course, as I knock things off my desk, I don't keep all my podcasts online because I hardly make any money out of this. So to keep my costs down, after a few months, the podcasts go onto my website at don't need to say that anymore, really. TheBigBenShow.com/podcasts. So if you want to hear about all the various entertainers I have interviewed, you can just go there and scroll down. But if you want to hear the most recent episodes, such as the one I'm recording right now, then just go to anywhere you like, iTunes, Spotify, whatever, and look for Meet the Entertainers on The Big Ben Show. Alrighty, so, you're a magician, is that right?
Yeah.
How on earth did you get started?
It happens in China, again.
Yeah.
It was like 16 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I was a 15 years old kid, well, teenager. And every summer I went back to Shenzhen,
okay,
to visit my relative. We,
yeah,
have a couple of days of fun together, go here and there, you know, family,
yeah,
trip.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, I was like 15 years old, so I can walk around by myself, and my parents wasn't very worried about me, although maybe they should. Anyway, so I wander around in Shenzhen area.
Yeah.
At that time, it wasn't very safe, to be honest.
So you're a teenager?
Yeah, 15, 16 years ago.
Okay.
Like, there's rumors that people with a needle and trying to rob you and say they have AIDS if you don't give money anyway.
Needles of AIDS, okay.
Yeah, well, it was just rumor. Anyway, yeah, it wasn't like the reputation of Shenzhen at that time,
yeah,
is very different from now.
Yeah.
So, I wander around, go to some like dodgy shopping malls, just curious, you know, like cats. Anyway, there's a shop that attracted my attention. I stop in front of the storefront and I look around. I have no idea what they're selling.
Mm-hmm.
So, I decided to walk inside.
Inside.
And there's a man about like 40 years old, I remember.
Okay.
A little bit like fat, but not too much. Like normal 40s, you know.
Yeah.
And
not like us, because I'm so attractive.
And I'm so skinny.
Yeah,
I'll be skinny forever, anyway. Anyway, so that guy, he said, "Hey, hello, would you like to see a magic trick?"
Mm-hmm.
I was like, "What? A magic trick? Yeah, nice, why not?" So he showed me a trick that's pretty famous. If you're listening to this podcast, probably you know about it. It's a sponge rabbit.
Mm.
So he did the sponge rabbit. I was amazed. Like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I was like normal teenagers and I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. And I was like, oh, that's fun. And I just want to walk away because, you know, teenagers, I don't really have much money.
Yeah.
And he said, "Would you like to learn it?" And I asked politely how much. And because I think, okay, after I asked, probably it'll be too expensive, and I walk away, I'm sorry, I can't afford it. But then he said, 40 yuan.
Okay. Yeah.
I was like, 40 yuan? Yeah, I can pay that. At that time, the yuan is cheaper than Hong Kong dollar as well. So it's like 55 Hong Kong dollar or something.
Mm-hmm.
But I can afford that, and it's nice. So I pay that, and he asked his wife to come out from behind the shop, behind the curtain. And he asked me to walk inside the curtain. And he teach me the trick.
Oh.
And he showed me how this is done. Oh, and I practiced for a few times. And then I walked away. Like, I learned the trick. I paid the money. I walk away. And at night, when everybody's sleeping, I practice,
yeah,
by myself. And the next morning, during the breakfast, I did the trick,
yeah,
to my relatives.
Yeah.
To my nephews, cousins. And they are amazed. You know, what? How did you do it? Now you know, like the normal.
So you weren't really into magic, but you just happened to come into a magic shop.
Yeah.
You saw the trick, the guy taught you, and you were fascinated.
It was actually a little bit funny, because before that, I think it's like a couple of months before that, I read from a magazine, there's like a guy saying, yeah, I learned magic, now I know people, I can talk, I can be more confident. And I look at the guy thinking, maybe he need that, I don't, I'm a little bit mean, I'm sorry. But he needs that maybe a little bit of confidence.
What kind of a kid were you? Were you shy? Were you...
No, I was never shy.
Not shy, okay.
When I was like a real kid, like primary school kid.
Yeah.
I was the one who raised a hand, I was the one who argued with the teacher.
Okay.
I wasn't like a perfect model.
Right, right.
I always wanted to speak out, and my parents always want me to shut up.
Okay, so you got a guy saying, you know, be a magician, makes you confident.
Yeah, the magazine. I was like, nah, no need.
You happen across a magic shop in Shenzhen.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you start buying more magic tricks? What do you start
after
doing
after the first day that I performed,
yeah,
I went back to the shop,
okay,
and bought a stripper deck.
Okay.
Now I know it's called stripper deck, but at that time I have no idea.
Yeah.
So I start doing the trick, and then when I'm back to Hong Kong, I walk in the Wan Chai area, and there's like a Tai Yuan Street,
mm-hmm,
which sell toys.
Right.
And I found that they have more of those like little magic toy. Mm. So I bought them one by one. I tried them out.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Like, at that time, the internet wasn't very popular. Yeah. We have internet, but I think it's really slow. Or
what kind of year are we talking about?
2005.
Okay. Yeah, so there's not a lot of YouTube or anything happening yet. Yeah, just beginning.
Yeah. So I just do my own thing. Mm. I look at the instruction. I imagine that it should be done like this.
Mm.
I show it to my friends, and then they like it. I bought the next one.
Mm.
I went to the library, and I think it's been like 3 years after I start. Then I met like the first hobbyist.
Oh, like, so you were doing this by yourself?
Or maybe two.
And then after a couple of years, you start to meet some more magicians who do it as a hobby?
1 or 2, yeah, not three. Okay. Yeah. We met on a forum.
Okay.
Online forum.
Online forum,
and
yeah.
And it still exists.
Yeah.
Hong Kong Discuss.
Hong Kong Discuss, there you go. So you meet some magicians online.
Yeah, and then we have a gathering.
Gathering.
We came out, and then, like all those Arrogant Teenagers magician, we show each other tricks.
Yeah. Okay.
But then I met some really good friends. We still keep in touch. That's how I met Bond Lee.
There you go, Bond Lee. Episode, I don't know what episode he was. This is going to ruin the podcast now. He's somewhere in there. He's somewhere down there. I don't know where Bond Lee is. Yeah, I've recorded him.
Yeah, good friend of mine.
Oh, there we are. Episode 51, Bond Lee, Magician Hong Kong.
Yeah, we met there.
All right, so you're trying to meet guys who actually, someone like Bond Lee who makes money doing magic.
No, we were like teenagers at that time.
Bond Lee wasn't even making money at that time?
No. I think when I met him, neither he's like, I think he's just year one. I think he was year one student.
Yeah.
But I remember we met in like a situation like that, online discuss thing. He was trying to learn in his school, in the magic club.
Yeah.
We all start amateur.
So that's the big thing. Was there any turning point that made you go from being an amateur as a hobby to starting to make money?
I went to another magic shop.
Yeah.
In Hong Kong this time, in Yuhua.
Okay.
In Jordan.
Okay.
There used to be a magic counter, like all those old school American, like shopping mall or stuff.
Yeah.
They have a magic counter. And I met a woman there. We talk. I don't know why, but I like to talk to a stranger a lot.
Yeah.
So we start talking. And
he doesn't really know me. We only met. We met at random at Hong Kong Golf and Tennis Academy. So yeah, I'm pretty much a stranger.
Exactly. Anyway, so we talk a bit, and then I left my phone number. Somehow I forgot. But yeah, he's like a 40, 45 years old woman, so nothing of that sort.
Okay.
It's just somehow exchange contacts.
Yeah.
And then she called me and saying there's somebody asking someone whether it's free to twist balloon in a jockey club or to teach some magic class. I forgot.
Yeah, so you get asked to do a gig.
Yeah, yeah. And then it was very bad pay. I don't want to name him, but he's still in business. It's alright. I mean, I know nothing.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah. Anyway, I was a kid.
Yeah.
So I went, and then I start to teach magic.
Okay.
And then
in the Hong Kong Jockey Club.
You get class and gigs. I forgot which one comes first.
Okay.
So it's like magic class and jockey club balloon twisting. I forgot which one came first.
Right,
probably
right.
Magic class came first.
Okay.
Yeah, magic class came first.
Magic class.
Yeah.
So you were teaching kids to do magic?
Yeah.
And who told you to do it? How did you start this?
How did I start this?
Yeah. Well, did someone ask you to do it?
Yeah, like the lady.
Oh, the same lady.
Lady said a friend of her. Need someone to teach a magic class.
So she's the magic class, and then also she say you need someone to twist balloons at the Hong Kong Jockey Club, so you start getting some work.
Not that lady. That lady's friend.
Friend's friend. Okay, got it. Okay.
Yeah. And then I remember now. So I start teaching magic. I just teach the kids tricks like rubber band stuff, and that guy also gave me some magic toy, which I used to play. to teach the kids.
Right.
Maybe the foreign audience thing is not like nice things to teach a kids interest class, but it's very, very common in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
So I don't really feel guilty about it because I teach them like you have to respect magic. I told them the three golden rules and stuff. Anyway, after a while, he needs someone to make balloons in a birthday party.
Ah, yes.
And, you know, I was like 17, 18. And I was really arrogant. I was like, no, I'm a cool guy. I don't want to make balloons. Balloon is for
clowns, yes.
Yeah, I can't pronounce this word somehow. Maybe it's in my DNA, I just can't pronounce it. Clowns,
yeah.
So I was like, yeah, but there's payment, a little bit, but I need the money.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll learn. So I learned how to make a dog, a flower, a sword, and a pink panther, and maybe some random stuff,
so
very
what,
easy
what
stuff.
What was it like at that first birthday party? Were the kids just wanting balloon after balloon after balloon?
I
want this, I want that. Can you make me Princess Elsa or something?
At that time, no, the kids wasn't that greedy yet.
They were happy with dogs and swords.
Yeah, they were very happy. I mean, I'm talking about like 12 years ago.
Okay, yeah.
So kids, they know like nothing. They know, okay, balloon should be like dog or a simple sword. So
okay.
it isn't hard.
So did it go okay, that first gig?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, 1 hour, twist balloons, and no problem.
Did you have any costume to wear for that first time?
Yeah, don't mention it. I dressed like a clown.
Did the client provide the costume?
Yeah.
Okay.
He don't want to be a clown, so I have to be a clown.
Okay. I got it.
Now I grow up. I mean, I respect the clown, but I just think like this is not my style.
You wanted to be a magician. I can see you wearing a very stylish H.P. Lovecraft t-shirt.
Yeah, you know.
Cthulhu, yeah.
I love that. Yeah, I'm Cthulhu. I'm the Cthulhu fan that literally read the story. I've read the story. Most of them didn't.
Yeah, I've read them. I played the role-playing game when I was a kid in the 1980s. It was a role-playing game. There was Dungeons and Dragons, of course, but there was also a Call of Cthulhu role-playing game. Anyway, this is going beyond what we're supposed to be talking about.
Yeah, I have to confess, I'm a geek.
Me too.
That's it, that's all. I play Call of Cthulhu.
So you get your first gig, and then do you start getting more gigs?
From the same guy, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, from the same, really bad pay. But
this guy, who you won't mention, but is still working, he got very bad pay, but you're getting more gigs.
Well, some gigs,
some
not
gigs,
all.
Some gigs.
And then, there's a changing point.
Yeah.
He asked me to do a birthday party. So, like, as a magician.
Oh, as a magician.
Not making balloons.
Yes.
No need to dress like a clown anymore.
Yeah, but more difficult. You've got to plan the show.
Yeah. At that time, I've been doing magic for maybe 3 years.
Yeah.
And I don't remember exactly what I did, but I remember I did the Miser's Dream.
The?
Miser's Dream.
Miser's Dream. Is that where coins appear?
Yeah. Like coins appear on a bucket.
And they go in the bucket and they make a big noise when you hit the bucket.
Yeah, exactly. I remember I did that because it's like the only stage or parlor, I have no idea at that time, magic that I... Well,
yeah, that would look good on stage, exactly. It's not close-up magic on a table.
Yeah.
Sort of card trick. It's something you could do in front of the kids. It's a great trick, actually, for kids' birthday parties. You've got the bucket.
Yep.
And you hold the kid's elbow and coins go up his elbow, up his nose, wherever, into the bucket.
I learned this trick from a very old book by some guy called Louis Jimson or something.
Yeah.
I think he's quite famous. Anyway, it's a really, really old book with black and white photo.
Yeah.
And I just learned, like, okay, we got a bucket, we make the coins up here. And at that time, it was the first time I went on stage in my school. It's not about the birthday kid.
Okay.
The birthday party is like before.
Okay.
So I learned this trick from there.
Okay.
I remember that I was really nervous. Because
for the school show or for the birthday party?
The school show.
The school show, yeah.
So it was before the birthday party.
Yeah, so you do it at the school first.
Yeah. So it was like the first ever show that I've ever done.
Ah, yeah.
So...
Did you have any music? Or was it...
No. That's the point. So, I learned everything from books.
Yeah.
I don't think I've watched any videos of like stage magic performance.
Right.
The only memory of stage magic performance is by the government. You know the random shows by the government?
Community shows and things,
yeah,
yes.
When I was like really young, yeah, I remember yeah. appearing King, that's it.
Yeah.
So anyway, okay, so I followed the book. I remember I'm trying to do like four tricks. One of them is Delight,
the thumb tips, D-light. The glowing thumb tips.
Yep, yep.
Oh, I love that trick.
Oh, we can talk about thumb tips here, right?
Yeah, tell me, yeah. This podcast is listened to by entertainers, so you don't have to reveal your magic tricks, but I think something like the glow tips is pretty common knowledge amongst magicians, so
yeah,
I don't think you're giving
think
any secrets away.
I mean,
you can find it on YouTube and anything.
Yeah.
I love them, but of course you do need to have quite a darkened stage area for them to look good.
Yeah.
If you're in daylight, it's not going to work at all.
I have the original Rocco one.
Oh yeah, nice.
It's really bad at that time.
Oh.
It wasn't bright
oh, not
enough.
Good.
Now it's okay.
Yeah.
Now they improved it. The thumb tip's too thick.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it wasn't very bright. So, anyway.
Do you have the thumb tips?
Yeah, I have the D-light. I have Master Dream as closing. And I forgot the other two.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway. So, I do the thing.
Yeah.
But I have no idea, so I think I talk a bit, but there's no music. Because I think it's a silent act.
Yeah.
Because I learned it from a book.
Did you have a microphone?
Yeah, I think so, but I can't talk.
But how can you do the magic trick with your hands if you're holding a microphone?
There's a mic stand.
A mic stand, okay.
But I remember, like, it was really quiet. Like, the whole school's watching, like 1,000 students and teachers watching, and
silence,
and I got a bucket,
yeah.
Like a pallet, right? A bucket.
Yes, a bucket.
And then I got the coins,
yeah.
I think they're $0.50, I got the holders, so I got coins up here, ding,
yeah.
And it's silent.
Silent.
Ding, more,
yeah.
And at the end, I asked someone from the audience to hold the bucket, and I got my $5, $20, $0.50, ding, 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 ding,
okay.
Ding. It's a silent hand.
Silent, no one
yeah.
Making any noise, no clapping, no laughing.
No, they like it at the end,
but
they
silence,
like it,
yeah.
Yeah, but silent, no music.
Yeah, no music.
They
I see, yes.
No
yes.
Music.
Yes, silence, yes.
So it's a real silent act.
Yeah, okay.
I was really nervous, and I called my friend who used to do drama, and she said, yeah, just pretend that you're practicing, just think that you're the best magician ever.
Yeah?
Yeah, and
yeah, it's all an act.
Yeah, I laid it
through. Could have the worst date ever, your girlfriend's left you, your pet dog died, but you go on stage and just pretend that you're super happy and everything's fantastic. Things are breaking, just carry on, like, this is how it's supposed to be, yeah.
The stage lights also help, she told me, because it's so bright that you really, can't really see the audience.
Can't see the audience.
Yeah. It was fun.
But you're trying to do the glowing thumb tips with bright stage lights on.
Yeah. I think they turned it off.
Oh, for that bit, okay.
Yeah, I think they turned it off. Okay. I have a glass jar of, like, glowing stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know, the really environmental, not friendly growing stuff, you know what I mean? Like the stick?
Oh, the glow sticks, yes.
Yeah,
like they had them at parties and raves, you snap the stick
yeah,
and it will glow.
Yeah. It was like past Mid Autumn Festival.
Yeah.
And I think I stocked some up because it's Christmas.
Yeah.
So I got some of the growing stuff, I put it into a glass jar and took the lights out.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. Looks
yeah.
like you're pulling lights out of the glowing jar.
Yeah. I remember I did this too. The other two probably are card trick, but I forgot.
Yeah, I like glow tips. Sometimes I'm at the AIA Carnival
mm-hmm.
in Hong Kong, and if I'm doing the night shift and it gets really dark,
mm-hmm.
I say I've got about an hour where
yeah.
I'm off stage. I'm a roving act,
yep.
So I can stand by the exit, and as people are leaving, I just spend the whole hour just with glow tips. You know, put them in my ear, pull the light out of my ear, out of my nose. Out of my bottom, of course, throw it to them, they throw it back.
Yeah, I did the same.
Yeah, swallow it.
It's now in my regular act.
Yeah.
I do it like in birthday parties.
Yeah.
It's fun.
So how do you do it in a birthday party again? I mean, I'm curious because I would only do it when it's dark. But if you're a birthday party...
Now, well, the D-lights nowadays...
Are they so bright now?
Yeah.
Oh,
and as long as it's not like direct sunlight.
Yeah.
I did it last Sunday. and it was like sort of like outdoor. It's not outdoor, but covered.
Yeah, so it's okay.
And it's like 4 o'clock. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's totally fine.
Yeah. I'm like, my office is so dark, it'd work here.
Yeah, it definitely would. Anyway, so after that show, I did the second show that I did is like pay gig, like birthday party gig.
Right. And this cheapo guy hires you cheaply to do...
Yeah, $500. Don't blame me. $500 Hong Kong dollars. Yeah. That's it.
And how long did your show have to be?
30 minutes of 30 magic, magic, 30 show. Minutes of balloon.
Right, okay.
And he borrows stuff to me.
That's kind of a standard around the world, you know. 30 minutes of magic, 30 minutes of balloons, a birthday party, yeah.
Yeah, some magicians in Hong Kong, can I?
they
shorten it to 20 minutes.
Oh my goodness.
Sometimes I do, because the kid's too young, they can't sit properly. Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, 2 years old, leave the kids.
So if you're hired for an hour, you do a 20-minute magic show and then 40 minutes of balloons.
No, some do.
Yeah,
some
you could do. You could do,
because
yeah.
they can't do a 30-minute show. Literally.
No, a birthday party is going to be very hard. Mm. I mean, sometimes the kids, they've seen so many magic shows, they shout out, I know what this is, it's a plastic thumb. Or
that's blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. They come up and they try to take your things by not looking.
Yeah.
Do you have any ways to control the kids?
Well, just some standard way. In the beginning, I just ask the naughtiest kids to be a good kid.
Okay.
Like to be the cop.
I'll be the cop, there you go.
And then point them out if I go to the party and I find that the kids probably will have trouble.
Mm.
So I'll talk to them, I'll identify the bad kid, and then in the beginning of the show I just make the rules and then say whoever crossed this line, you point to him and everybody points to him.
There you go.
And also I will try to ask parents to help.
Yeah.
Usually Hong Kong parents, they're pretty nice and they will just stay, everybody's watching. As long as the adults watching, the kids will watch.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is like the biggest tip. Because after a while, I found that sometimes even like kids can't control the kids. So if the adults watching, that's fine.
Yeah, adults. If you've got adults around, like sometimes I can bring an adult on stage even at the birthday dad.
Yeah.
And that will calm things down with two adults, me and him on stage.
Yeah, I was like in an Indian party 2 weeks ago.
Okay. And Indian parties, I often find they love the dancing, very enthusiastic.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they love dancing. Yeah. Look at Bollywood, then you have an idea.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Indian kids, they're nice, but they're like wild. They want to run.
That's right.
Scream
that's right.
And run is their nature.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't bring them. So it's very difficult to let them sit. Yeah. They watch my show for 15 minutes. And the bad thing is that the same room, they have like a, not a bouncy car, they're giant slider that they can't
so
close
hard.
It.
No, it's so tough.
There's two exits. They close one, but the kids break it, so there's still two exits. And after 15 minutes, all my kids gone. I mean, I've done the show. I know it should work. I'm not bad at all. Show goes good. So they just gone.
So what do you do?
And then I was like, okay, I've never been to that situation before. If it's like bouncy castle, I will switch it off and the kids have to stay. Yeah, but this one, I can't close it.
Well, sometimes the bouncy castle is hired by a different company. And I talk to them at the party and they say, look, we're hired to be on for, my boss says it has to be on for the whole 3 hours.
Yeah, wow.
So, yeah, so all I can do really is that I do my show away from the bouncy castle, so the bouncy castle is behind the kids. So the kids are looking at me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and if one or two kids does go to the bouncy castle, then the other kids don't see it immediately because they're looking at me still. So it's okay, I can get away with it.
I always switch it off.
If you can, it's a good idea.
Always. I've never have any difficulty to switch it off. Mm. Anyway, so what I did is, I talked to the parents. The daddy said, yeah, maybe we can do it again after we cut the cake.
Okay.
So we can gather the people and then we try to do it again.
Yeah.
So it took so long to just gather them and cut the cake. It took so long. The parents, they don't really care sometimes.
Yeah.
And maybe they just want to talk.
Yeah.
So because the photographer was my friend as well.
Yeah.
Is or was. I got very confused. So anyway, so it took a while to gather them, make a perfect birthday pictures for everyone, and then I tried to start the show. I told all the parents, please let's stay because the show is a gift from the host, so I hope you and everybody will enjoy
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it didn't work.
And
then
like we're going to the naughty kid. It's not your birthday, sit down. No, it doesn't work. Pull my trousers off.
Anyway, there's a big Indian man
yeah.
who came to rescue. Not the host. The
oh.
host is a nice Indian guy.
Yeah.
But like a big Indian man yeah. came and say, tell every kid, okay, everybody, now you sit down for 5 minutes. If it's more than 5 minutes, you go and play.
Yeah.
And they listen to the big, muscular Indian daddy. So they start together, and the parents watch as well, and I did the second half. And at the end, I did the chain release. I asked, chain release?
Chain release.
You know what?
Is it
one?
Linking rings?
No, chain release is like a handcuff.
Oh, handcuffs, yes.
Yeah, handcuff, and then I was chained up, and I tried to escape. You
yeah.
know, it's a comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
And I asked two big Indian guys to lock me up.
Yeah.
And it was a good show. People loved it.
Excellent.
At the end, and they all cheers for me, and then they went back to the slide. And start screaming again.
But if you had to delay, stop your show halfway and then they do the birthday cake, did you end up staying longer than the normal hour?
Yeah, never mind. I never mind it. Well, it's a
but unless you have another show to get to, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes I stay for good food.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, last Sunday I got some French cheese and Argentina beef.
Yeah, that's a good tip, you know. If you go to these birthday parties, you can get a lot of free food.
Yeah.
Sometimes the food's terrible, though. It's just, like, really cheap ham, beef burgers and
I had an Indian
cheap fried rice.
Indian party always have good food.
Yeah?
Yeah, because they're like nice Indian food.
Say you're going to try and get to another party quickly, and especially right now, to be topical, because in Hong Kong right now, the protest movement has blossomed around the country. So you never know where there might be problems. Even if you're in a taxi, maybe the road is blocked.
Nah.
If you're trying to get a train, maybe the train isn't running. So how do you get from place to place quickly if you are in a rush?
Well, go away.
You walked! I remember! That's how I met you!
Yeah, I tried to walk.
We were at Hong Kong Golf and Tennis Academy in Sai Kung, and there's only one road to Sai Kung.
Yep.
And there'd been a traffic jam. There'd been a car crash and a traffic jam. So I'd been waiting for about an hour. Luckily, my next show wasn't for about 2 hours. And you came out, and you were like, okay, my show's in like in half an hour.
Yeah.
But it's only like, what, 2 kilometres away?
Yeah.
So you walked there.
I tried to walk. So I start calling a taxi like at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Show start at 4.
Yeah.
And it's 2 kilometres away.
Yeah.
I was with all my gears. I don't want to walk. I'm with a dress, fancy, new shoe.
Yeah.
Don't want to ruin it. Anyway, I called a taxi. After 15 minutes, they told me, wait.
Yeah.
After like 10 minutes more, because Google Maps said 35 minutes walking.
Yeah.
So it's like 3:25.
So you can still make it.
If I walk fast, I can still make it. So I just decided to abandon the idea of getting a taxi and walk.
So you must travel with quite a light amount of equipment, because you can see me, my box
yeah.
is massive. They asked me to bring a unicycle, that's another thing to carry.
I'm a skinny
rucksack.
Guy.
So
I can't carry that much.
Yeah, so you didn't carry too much. So what do you carry to a show?
Mm,
to a birthday party?
Maybe, can I finish your story?
Yeah, sorry.
No problem. So I start walking.
Yeah. Oh.
Then?
I didn't realise there's more to the story.
Then there's a car.
Okay.
And then inside the car, I saw a balloon. And I noticed that the balloon is from my party.
Oh,
so
brilliant.
I just stop it. Stop. And then there's a nice Chinese lady who's driving.
Yeah.
And she's going into Sai Kung, which is my direction. I said, okay, only 5 minutes. It takes you only 5 minutes. Please drive me. So at that direction, there's no traffic jam.
Right.
So I make it.
Was she going to that party?
She went to the... No,
she
no,
was
no.
on the previous party
yeah,
at
yeah,
Hong
yeah,
Kong
yeah.
Golf and Tennis Academy.
Yeah,
ah,
yeah. And then she lived in Sai Kung.
Right.
So this is the first time ever that he checked in Hong Kong. First time he checked.
Yeah.
He used to work in New Zealand.
Yeah.
But not in Hong Kong.
You were hitchhiking.
Yeah. and then make it.
That's brilliant. That's
I'm shameless.
Story.
Sorry.
That's a good story.
Anyway,
I was asking what you carry. Yeah. What do you take to a birthday party?
Balloons.
Balloons. Yeah. Do you have a nice balloon pump? Mine keep breaking. I buy mine from just down the road.
I use a Colitex one.
Okay, you got
the
a good
green one.
One. Yeah. Where can you buy those in Hong Kong?
Yao Tong.
Okay, I'll better buy a new
one. Or Sam Shui Po.
Interesting information for me. Okay, carry on. So you carry your balloons. Can you inflate my mouth or do you always use a pump?
No.
It's hard, right?
Yeah, I tried.
Took me many years before I got it.
Yeah, a Mexican tried to teach me. That's another story. I was in Mexico too.
Oh, right. Anyway, Mexico tried to teach.
Yeah, we can talk about that. That's fun. So, and I bought my silent egg, which consists of a cane, some flower, feather flower, some silk. I love silk because they're light and they
look
the
nice. Is the cane telescopic?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, appearing cane.
Yeah, appearing cane, yeah.
Yeah, the best cane ever, I think.
Great.
Yeah, it's called Ultra Cane.
Yeah, and easy to carry because it's, goes small.
Yeah, I left that in my last birthday party.
You left it behind?
But then, yeah,
you lost
I'm
it.
Forgotful. No,
oh.
I a call.
Oh.
And then the guy said, yeah, I have it.
Oh, good.
And then I went back to take it and he had no idea how. Still, how this appear?
Right.
Because it's, you can't really like compress it.
That's a good one. Oh, nice.
Yeah, you don't know how. If you don't know how, you think okay, this is like
real cane.
Yeah. Anyway, so I have my silent egg. I love like ropes as well.
Mm.
Darrow acrobatic knot.
Darrow acrobatic knot.
Yeah.
Is that the knot that moves around?
Yeah. Oh, that one.
Yeah.
And then I usually carry around 7 or 8 tricks that I go to a party, and because there may be some kids that have seen it, so I can switch the show, you know what
oh,
I mean?
Oh, that's nice, yeah.
I have done it. I have been to a party, and there's like a couple of kids from another party that I just did like last week, so I have to switch everything, almost everything. But luckily, I have like things like mouth coil, color changing silk. I have a very nice and mini change bag, but they don't go together. Color change seal and change bag,
right.
That's the same trick. And then I have a bowl and vase. I love bowl and vase.
So is that when you put the vase?
Like the classic one, you know what I mean? Like a little bowl, like a nice wooden vase.
Yeah.
And then you hide the bowl and the bowl comes back to the vase.
Lovely.
Yeah, I love that. I did it in a kids show.
Mm.
It's not my routine, but it's excellent.
Yeah.
I don't know if we talk about routine here, but anyway. So it's all small stuff. Tanyang, balloon penetration, which is very small, but play big because I'm pump up a balloon.
Mm.
I want to learn how to eat the balloon, but I didn't.
Right.
Sorry, I should. And then, what else? Ching Minis, coloring book, you know, small stuff, Cola Monty, D-Light, all these stuff
D-Light,
is
tips,
play small, pack small, play big.
Yeah,
everything.
That's a good idea. So, you get to when you get to a birthday party, let's go into the specifics. You go there, and how do you start your show? How do you get the kids to sit down?
So usually the parents will do it, or I will just magic time, everybody come, show time, start to play the music to make the environment better.
Ah.
I have a speaker that's this small.
So he's saying about 6 inches, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's very loud as well. It's a good one, very good one.
And
Bluetooth
what,
speaker.
What do you? How do? You, so it's Bluetooth. Do you have the music on your phone?
Yep.
Connecting my Bluetooth. Okay.
And then I play some party music, colorful music.
Yeah. So you play the music.
And then kids sit here.
Mm.
And then I start talking first.
Right.
I start greetings.
Mm.
I did some silly jokes. I learned it from Rumples.
I've got a couple of questions. So when you say you can do a silent show, does that mean no talking?
Yeah, just music.
So you sometimes do that.
I do it like after the talking, after the joke, after I establish a relationship. I'll ask them, anyone want to watch some magic show?
Oh, I see. So you're playing the music, the kids are sitting down, and you're talking to them, just You find
Warm it up.
Warm it
make
up.
Make some funds, make them laugh.
Yeah, what kind of... Sorry, for me, I would say my standard lines are, who's the birthday kid and... Or, why are we here? It's a party. Is it a Christmas party? No. Is it an Easter party? No. Is it a wedding? No. Is it a birthday party?
Nice.
Oh, it's a birthday party. Whose party is it? Oh, I picked the wrong person. So is it this kind of stuff?
Yeah.
And what kind of stuff do you do? What do you say?
I copy it from someone.
Yeah, this is...
alright.
Yeah.
And there's like a one that I sing a birthday song, but it's actually a Christmas song.
Right? This sounds like Rumpel to me, am I right?
I used to work with them.
Yeah, there you go, yeah.
Yeah, Rumpel.
Yeah.
And let me think if there's like anything there.
So you're asking them to sing happy, you say, let's sing the birthday song, and then you come out with some ridiculous Christmas song instead.
Mm-hmm. But it's like a birthday song still, because of the lyrics.
Oh, right.
So it's still a birthday song. And then there's another one, also from Rumpel. So I remember all the kids' name, and then I just start some gibberish.
Some gibberish.
Yeah, like So tell me all your name.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
And then I remember you are blah blah blah.
You get it all wrong.
And the last person that I answer, like they challenge me. Yeah. What's my name? If it's like a little boy,
yeah,
I would say Mary. Or Susan.
Yeah.
If there's a little girl, I would say Tom.
Yeah.
Something, and then they would just start laughing,
laugh.
And also, this is like one of the opening that I do. No, there's actually two. So birthday song or names, or I sometimes I do both.
Yeah.
And
this would be useful, say for someone listening in America who hasn't done a birthday show before. These are all little things you can do to start the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's great.
That's another thing that I would do. I think it's pretty standard as well. The arm twisting trick.
Okay, the David Copperfield arm twisting trick, yeah.
Yeah, I use that to warm them up if I see them before.
If you haven't seen this, it's like you kind of fold your arms, and the kids try to fold their arms, but somehow, for some strange reason, when you fold your arms... Oh yeah, I pressed a button on my computer. For some strange reason, when you fold your arms and go round and round as if you're somehow dislocating your shoulders and elbows, and they try and they can't do it. They can't untwist. Yeah.
So there's like three stage to that trick. So it's a warm up.
Yeah.
So the David Copperfield one, and then this one I have no idea. You know.
Oh.
This one.
What's that one? He's putting his. He's crossing his arms and putting his index fingers by his nose.
Everyone in Hong Kong will know it, but
no,
I don't know.
I don't know this one. Okay. I'll have to add a video to this podcast.
So you put it like next to your nose.
He's putting
Don't peck your nose.
Okay.
It's not hygienic.
Okay.
So
fingers
just
by my
follow
nose.
Me.
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Oh no. What happened?
I have no idea what it's called.
Yeah, okay. So there's a nice I'll put a video link. So you can see what it is.
Learned it from Harry Wong.
Harry Wong, there you go.
Yeah.
That's nice. So it looks like again, you can untwist your hands, but the kids can't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then the last one, so they follow me.
Yeah.
Like this. I think this one is my original.
Okay.
Like this. And then do this.
Okay.
And
you clap
do
your
it.
Hands.
Clap more.
Clap more.
Clap.
Yeah.
And I just say, thank you. That's how I got my applause.
And then
they just laugh, and then music, and I start my silent act.
Ah, so your silent act. Is it tightly choreographed to the music, or do you just play the music and improvise to the music?
Yeah, it's sort of like improvise. Sometimes I switch the music as well.
Right.
I use her in the mood, usually. It's a good song.
I do as well.
You do as well.
Yeah, it's in one of my acts.
Yeah. So this is like
I do the color changing wreaths to In the Mood.
Color changing wreaths.
So I've got a bag. The music's going on and on. It looks like every time it looks like I finish the trick, I might take out another wreath.
Yeah.
It changes color.
By the way, so after a while that I've been a magician, I used to have a luggage, like to go to a show, but sometimes you have to run, and sometimes I have to hang out to go to a movie afterwards, so I would just have this is a backpack that this is a backpack that I used to put all my shows inside.
Wow.
It can
amazing.
Contain an hour of show, kid
it's
show.
It's brilliant. Better than me. My stuff's too big.
And yeah, I think so too. And a table. I use a very nice table, very classy one.
Yeah.
It's a Mikami book table.
Folding table, yeah?
No. Mikami. Book table.
Book table.
It looks like a book.
Oh, wow.
Have you seen it?
No.
Google it, and then it's I don't know if it's still in production.
Right, right.
But it's a wooden, it's reasonably light. Yeah. If you are from the US, you have a car and there's no problem.
Yeah.
I mean, in Hong Kong, I have to carry stuff around.
Yeah.
So that's all.
Yeah. And
sometimes client will ask for an hour show.
Mm.
So I can still use the same thing.
You can still manage to fit an hour equipment into one rucksack.
Yeah.
Wow, that's brilliant. That's really cool.
My stuff's really small.
Yeah.
Don't learn from me.
Yeah. Pack small, play big. Don't learn from you. Pack small, play big.
Yeah, too skinny. Really, sometimes. I was a backpacker, so I went backpacking. But I saw all those foreigners, huge man with a huge backpack, with everything. And I'm just a skinny Chinese with a huge backpack.
Okay.
So I was thinking, like, no, I wish I could carry more.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't. So that's why my thing is small.
That's pretty cool. So you're playing music and you're doing magic tricks to the music.
Mm-hmm.
How long is the silent magic show?
Depending on if I arrive, usually I try to arrive like 20 minutes earlier to set it all up, but sometimes it's not possible.
You arrive last minute, yeah.
Yeah, so neither is like no silent act because it takes time to prepare, or 3 minutes. Or 5 minutes.
Oh, I see.
But usually
this is a problem for magicians. It's like when you get to the show or after the show, you've got to repack the cane, fold things up, prepare things again. So if you arrive in plenty of time, you can prepare everything, set everything up, and you can do a 5 minute routine.
Yeah, silent act. If I can't make 5 minutes, I make 3 minutes, or it just depends on the mood. Say, today I don't want to do this. I got stuff, so it's easy for me.
So you've warmed up the crowd with some funny David Copperfield kind of tricks where your arms can't unlock the way the magicians can. Then you've got about a 5 minute act to music with magic. Mm-hmm. What's the next part? You've still got about 50 minutes to go in the birthday party.
25. So some magicians do 20.
Okay, you've got a 30 minute magic show. You still got about 25 minutes
because I talk with them. Yeah. So the next one is going to be a comedy thing, and I ask kids to come out and help.
Yeah, yeah.
So neither is going to be like a change bag. Color changing silk changing color, or the ball and vase.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Or something else. I forgot. And I also do, before the comedy, I also do one warm-up trick, which is, I've never seen people do it in kids show. It's from What Lies Inside.
What Lies Inside.
From
okay.
the book called What Lies Inside. I think it's from a German magician called Steve, but I'm not 100% sure. Anyway, the trick is called Imagination is a Lemon.
Imagination, it's a lemon.
Yeah. And would you like me to describe it?
Yes, please.
So, I add a little bit my thing into it as well from psychological subtleties.
Mm.
So, I just ask a random child, or if I want to engage an adult, I ask an adult.
Mm-hmm.
If I want you to think of a color of the rainbow, what color would you pick?
Yeah.
So another red, blue, whatever. And then I say, but today we're going to imagine the yellow, the color of yellow first. So just use your imagination and something really magical will happen. And I ask them to join me. Everybody just imagine that you're holding a lemon.
Mm-hmm.
So I took a lemon, I hold it, I ask them to do the same, but just imagine that you're holding it. I have a real lemon, but they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just follow me, and other hand, use a knife, cut the lemon, juice came out, blah, blah, blah.
Mm.
So maybe we can do part of it. I can't do it now, but we can do part of it. So just imagine that there's a lemon, follow me, holding it, a knife. Cut the lemon.
I'm cutting the lemon?
Yeah, and the juice start to come out, more juice, and start to drip. Yeah, lots of juice, very lemony, very fresh, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, hold the lemon, lick it.
Ooh.
So sour, right?
Sour, yeah.
Yeah, sour.
Mm.
And you feel the sour, but that's no lemon, right?
No.
Yeah. That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's just in your imagination.
Yeah.
And because of your imagination, you imagine that I was holding a knife, right?
Mm.
But actually, your imagination is putting a trick on you. So my knife will turn into a fork.
Oh.
And I show them.
Yeah.
And then I use my fork as a magic wand and hit the lemon. And the lemon will become a piece of paper that is paperball.
It's
become
a paperball,
yellow color.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so there's low lemon as well. It's all in your mind. So there's a yellow paperball.
Yeah.
And I ask them, do you remember they name a color before the show? So I open up the paperball and it was written blue or
of the
red.
Color they named.
Yeah, of the color that the guy named.
Oh, great trick! Like it.
Yeah,
that's
so,
a good one.
Yeah, this is like my opening.
Yeah.
If the kids are old enough, I mean, if there's
this
like...
This is only your opening? Whoa.
No, I think this is the best one.
It's good to start strong. It's good to start strong, yeah.
So, this is fun and it's engaging and the adults, if they join it, they will like it as well. I do it in the adult show as well.
Sure. I bet it works well, yeah.
Yeah, so I was referred to this trick by Alex Ng for some credit.
Mm.
He's a great guy in Hong Kong, among the magician circle. Yeah.
Okay, good.
But he's I don't think he's professional, he's an amateur.
Yeah.
But he's like our godfather.
Ah.
So anyway, this one, and then I start to lighten up the mood a bit. I do it like a light tone, not like really serious mental magic, just fun and just imagine. So the next one, I move on to a comedy thing, and change back or born fast, and then in between after this, and then I'll do some filler, like. Not really like filler, I can't say it. Filler is something rubbish that you want to fill the time.
No, but it's something that you can just slot into this part of the show.
Yep, not particularly strong, but interesting to see as well.
Yeah.
Like the Tianyang balloon penetration is a great one.
Yeah, so you've got a balloon and the needle can go through
it. No, not that one. That one's a big balloon,
right?
Okay. So mine is like the one that you can make a dog.
Oh yeah, the 260s.
The long 260. Yeah. I use transparent 260 from Qualitas.
Right.
And so it's a plastic tube.
Mm.
I send a check, I put the balloons inside, I have two chopstick thing, penetrate it because it's plastic.
Yeah.
No, because it's transparent, they can see.
They can see it's gone
and
through.
They can check everything.
Yeah.
And it has literally goes through.
Nice.
And then I pull it out. And I did it in sort of like comedy way.
Mm.
You know, I tried to... The first time I did it, I played really big. Everybody, cover your ears.
Oh, yeah.
And anyone's afraid, don't do it at home, blah, blah. And then, okay, one, two, I just step the balloon and then they scream.
Yeah.
But then I say, thank you. And the thing is actually behind the plastic tube.
It's
and they
behind.
Start to ponting
it's
and laughing.
You know,
like it's typical.
Yeah.
Classic.
This is great, yeah.
Anyway, and then I really start to do the thing. Once, twice, it's a cross.
Yeah.
And then you can see it's a cross.
It's
check it out. Yeah. I think it's still in production.
Yeah.
It's really cheap, really small, really lightweight.
What's it called again?
It's from Tianyang Magic.
Okay.
It's a balloon penetration from Tianyang Magic.
Mm.
They also give you a pump,
yeah.
but don't use that one. It's like a small one.
Yeah.
You can do this. Use a real pump.
Yeah.
So that one is like one of the filler.
Yeah.
And another one, if I want to spice things up, or if the kids are a little bit older, if the adults watching, is I Hate Kid. The trick is called I Hate Kid.
I Hate Kid. Okay.
So this one I recommend to do with kids like maybe 6, 7. Smart kids.
Yeah.
As the smart kids come out, basically it's free wallet.
Yeah.
Tell them. I have some cash here.
Oh.
Yeah. So in Hong Kong, they don't really mind. It's a place of money.
Yeah.
In America, I don't know if the parents will feel bad, but in Hong Kong, the parents...
Money's good.
Hey, get the money.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. So, the kids start to pick. 1, 2, 3.
Mm.
Pick one. I will do something like to influence him.
Mm.
I will ask the audience to influence him. I will say, number two is for girls. Are you a girl? No, I'm a girl, but I want to choose it. No, you're a girl then. Something like that.
A trick like this would need the table, right? Because you're going to put three wallets on the table.
The book table will
book table, yeah.
have
yeah.
layer flip,
yeah.
so that I can put the wallet up
yeah.
there,
yeah.
and they can see the wallet, number yeah. one, number two, or number three.
Yeah, you can see it, yeah.
So, and then, before I trade, I ask the kids to make a pinky promise, no matter okay. what happened, do not cry. So at the end, he packed the wallet, inside there's a $20 bill.
Right.
Okay, and it's a sucker effect. I pretend that I lost.
Yeah.
The kid took the money, very happy yeah. or not very happy, depend on how rich the kid is.
Yeah.
So they took the $20 bill, they start walk away and say, wait, remember you make a promise, right?
Yeah.
Just imagine, have you ever think of what happened if you pick number one instead? So number one, there will be $100.
Yeah.
What happened if you pick the number three for losers?
Ooh.
And then the number three will have $1,000.
Wow.
And then they start clapping. Sometimes the kids being honest will give me back the 20. Sometimes I don't get it back.
Sometimes
but it's fine.
Yeah,
I just
yeah,
give
yeah.
it to him.
Yeah.
But it's fun. It's like the other
yeah,
thing
yeah.
that I do. I hate it. It's cool.
Yeah. When I do stage shows on a big stage,
mm-hmm.
I often use money in the magic tricks that I do. But I found that for me, in my character, because I let the kids sort of take advantage of me throughout the show, that I can't offer them money because they'll never give it back.
$20, or maybe 10.
Then, they won't give it back. And my trick involves me getting about $100, and there's no way they could give me back.
Okay.
So I just give them candy instead of
$100. Yeah, nice. Good thing.
But on stage, on a big stage show, I don't know why it's different. On stage, a big stage show, the kid will give me the money back. But in their house, at a birthday party, they won't give me the $100 back.
More people's watching.
Maybe,
more
I
passion.
Don't know. I don't know. Yeah, but maybe about the whole, yeah, maybe it's like that.
Yeah, so this is like some of the things I do.
The psychology.
In the middle.
Yeah, in the middle of the show, yeah. And I guess you've got to make sure you pick up the birthday child as one of your volunteers.
Usually the comedy one.
Yeah, the comedy one, yeah.
And I have the CDBD's one, furthest one.
A silly...
Silly Billy's Feathers one.
Feathers one, so...
Yeah, Duster one.
A Duster one, ah.
Yeah, yeah. And I usually ask them, what did you do this morning?
Yeah.
Or, did you just eat?
Yeah.
Oh, that's like, you think he's handsome enough? I have a magic wand to help him to be more handsome. And then, there's like breadcrumb rolls, and there's like dirt, and I just do this and that, and they laugh, and yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So usually I make sure that I pick the birthday kid first.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes he's like too shy.
Yes.
Right. It's fine. So
this is the filler part, but you've still got some more to do, haven't you? So what happens after the filler part?
Ending?
Ending?
I have like two or three filler.
Yeah.
I have the grandpa top hat.
Okay, what's that one?
It's from Japan. I think it's pretty common. Not really pretty common. Yeah, well, everything that can't find Taobao isn't very common in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
It's sad. There's like a... Well, nowadays there's fewer.
Mm.
But there's many magicians, they just went to Taobao and bought some Chinese knockoff and tried to do the show.
Right, right.
It's just sad.
You'd recommend buying a high-quality grandfather's top hat.
Yeah, yeah.
So what is this trick?
It's a picture.
Yeah.
With a hat,
okay.
Like a magician top hat.
Yeah.
But it's empty.
Empty.
It's a, you know, it's, and then you put it behind it, and then you've got a rabbit.
Ah.
You know which one is that?
So, there's a picture of a hat, and the hat is empty in the picture.
Yep.
Oh, then you put the picture behind your back, and you come out, the same picture, but now there's a rabbit.
Yep.
Picture. Oh, nice.
And then soon, like...
But they're saying, you're changing it behind your back.
Yeah, and then the first time, if the kid's young enough, they will clap.
You think,
oh, nice,
yeah.
rabbit.
Yeah.
But then some kids, they don't get it. The second time I do, I'll make it disappear, and I'll make it appear again. I'll flip it in front of them,
yeah.
but hide behind me afterward and came out. So they saw me, that literally, like, turn it over.
Oh, right.
So,
you turned it over!
Yeah, and then it's a classic, no, I didn't.
Yeah, you did, we saw you turn it over!
So I flip it back, and the rabbit disappear, and say, how?
Yeah.
Did I turn? And they said, turn around. So I turn around, flip it over. So I flip it upside down. All the other way.
Yes.
My back's nothing in the back. My back's nothing. Nothing
yeah.
on the
yes,
wall.
Yes, yes, yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, all this.
The classic children's magic entertainment stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then, afterward,
good one.
I show them, okay, now I'm going to do a trick. I think this is mine.
Mm.
I'm going to, so In front, no rabbit. Behind, no rabbit. I'll just show you. Now I slap my finger and rabbit appear from behind. So I flip it.
And now?
Now.
Real magic.
Yeah, and then they say, like, no, it was always there.
Yeah.
And then, so, after I flip it again, and there will be a dove.
Oh, lovely.
And then I flip it again, the rabbit will become a flower.
Nice.
A bunch of flower. I flip it again, there will be a panda.
Wow.
And I flip it again, and there will be a rabbit.
Oh, so many.
And then I will do one more time the rabbit disappear thing.
Yeah.
And then at the end, it's all empty. Both
yeah.
sides.
Brilliant. That's a good one.
Good trick.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. I think it's from, I think it's by UGM.
Okay,
not 100% sure, but it was made in Japan.
Brilliant.
I've been using mine for a couple of years now. Start to be like a little bit old, but still usable.
Yeah. All right.
Good investment.
That's a good one.
Yeah, the cat thing, like, really big. No, the rabbit, run rabbit. It's sort of like rabbit, run rabbit, but rabbit, run rabbit is a good trick, but too big.
Mm.
Too big to carry around.
Yeah.
But this one's very small.
Yeah.
Thin, small, made of plastic.
Brilliant. Perfect trick.
Yeah.
Play small. Pack small, play big.
Yeah.
Okay,
exactly.
So that's another great one. And... But you still got to come to your ending, right? Or is that your ending? That's still filler.
Sometimes I use this. Yeah. And then, one tip that I found that. So, at this time, if the kids yawn or the environment's bad, kids will start running away. Some of them.
Yeah.
Or they will be less concentrated.
Yeah, and it's that moment when they've sat down for 7 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, their attention starts to wander.
So, I will fill in another silent act.
Okay.
To bring them back.
So, and when you bring it by silent acts, you'll play some music and do something to music. Yeah.
Yep, I will do a second silent act, easy one, that don't really need to set up.
Mm.
So I'll play some music and they came back.
Oh, that's interesting.
That's very interesting. Yeah. And the whole party came back, usually, because they hear the music. Oh, something's going on, and the drinking parents will look.
Yeah.
And they just look, they don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
So that silent act will be delight.
Mm.
Will be a vanishing water trick by gimmick made by a friend of mine.
Uh-huh.
A 90 years old daughter now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a chicken powder thing. The pool water inside, disappear, and then pull water out, something like that. And then
so this trick also must take a bit of preparation. You've got to get hold of the water or carry it with you, a water bottle.
A glass of water will be fine.
Yeah.
And also, sometimes I do the Lincoln silk, the Chinese Lincoln silk.
Okay.
You know which one?
No.
Crystal tube.
Okay.
Free silk inside.
Blow.
They link together.
They're linked.
It's a classic.
Yeah,
I love silk magic. My wife said there's too much silk inside my app. So this one's nice, and especially if there's a foreigner, I'll play a piece of Chinese music and do it.
Yeah.
I have sort of like an... I want to...
How do you control your music? So it's on your phone, so you just...
Yeah, on my
quickly
phone.
Quickly lean down, press the next track on your phone.
The ideal thing will be my wife's there and help me. But sometimes I don't want she... Because she works like during the week.
Ah.
So sometimes I don't want you to work with me during the weekend.
That's nice. So sometimes your wife will come with you and help play the
Especially if I have to rush.
Music,
if I have to rush, she will pack everything while I make balloons.
My wife would never do that for me.
We're a good team,
Good team, yeah.
Yeah, so after the silent act, usually it's time for the ending.
Yeah.
I have a few choices.
Mm.
Coloring book.
Coloring book?
The Silly Billy routine of coloring book.
So the book that looks like it has no colours and then...
The Silly Billy routine.
Yeah, okay.
If you do coloring book, I think most of people will do the Silly Billy routine.
Okay.
And that's very good, a good one. Another coloring book routine that I recommend is from Chris Kaper.
Okay.
American magician, Chris
Kaper. Chris Kaper.
I've watched his lecture.
How to spell?
Chris, so C-H-R-I-S.
Yeah.
And Kaper, Kaper?
Don't know, C-A-P-E-R?
C-A-R-P something. So, he got a DVD teaching Master's Dream as well, a kid's show DVD teaching Master's Dream.
Master's Dream, yeah.
So I think you can find it.
Right.
It's a black American magician.
Yeah.
Very nice guy.
Yeah.
Really funny.
Good.
He used to be a busker.
Oh, interesting.
So that's his nicest, like, is so much fun.
Good.
So I neither do CDBD one or his coloring book routine.
Mm.
It involves some money as well.
Involves money again?
Yeah. Price, money as price, and people can't take it.
Ah.
It's very funny.
Yeah.
So anyway, coloring book or another ending that we choose is chain release because it can involve the adult.
Yes.
Mouth coil, if I want the kids to go wild.
The streamer just keeps it coming out of your mouth.
Yeah. I use Bazar de Magia coil from Argentina.
Right.
That one is nice.
Yeah.
It's really long and it's really, really clean and it's a good one.
Mm.
So mouth coil, it's nice ending, nice and big. Sometimes I want to do a little bit more, I will do cups and balls.
Oh, cups and balls, yeah.
Yeah, if I want to do a little bit more.
Yeah. Can you do that on your little table as well?
My table is about...
It's not little, actually.
Big.
So about 2 feet
it's
square.
Yeah, so it's not ideal, but
it can be done.
It's more than can be
and
done.
And how about the birthday party? The kids are sitting on the floor, the table's high up. Can they still see?
Somehow they can.
Yeah, just about, yeah.
Yeah, because I was like back a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
So if the kids are like 6, 7 years old, and if I got the adults as well, if I have some lemon, I'll do the cups and balls.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a 3 cups, 3 balls, 1 magic wand. My cups and balls routine is, I developed it, it's sort of like fusion between... I use the opening of Michael Armour.
Okay.
Cups and balls routine, thanks Michael Armour. Like the balls up here and stuff. And then I use a middle one. After the opening is the Di Vernon opening.
Oh, Di Vernon, yeah.
Like the opening sequence of Di Vernon. And then after that, I put in some Cellini thing.
Cellini, yeah.
Yeah, and at the end, and it's Di Vernon again at the end.
Yeah.
But I got a jumbo low. So, 3 lemon as the final low.
Okay.
And then there will be an orange, which doesn't fit the ball.
Okay.
No, it doesn't fit the
doesn't
cup.
Doesn't fit under the cup.
Yeah. So there's a final low and that one.
A philo low?
Philo load.
A final load, yeah.
Yeah.
Final
so
load,
yeah. So it's a cups and ball routine.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You got some people low a chicken. Some rice, but my fellow loaves are 3 lemons and an orange. And
right.
The orange is bigger than the cup.
Ah.
And the method is sort of inspired by Paul Gertner
from
the Steel and Silver.
Brilliant.
So, I have a very nice magic wand and I have a leather bag that I put the loaves inside.
Yeah. Alright, so you've got your show done and then you can say to the kids, who wants a balloon? Is that it? For the next half an hour?
Cutting the cakes.
Oh, you do cutting the cake next, okay.
Yeah, sometimes.
Do you have any special way of doing the cake cutting? Because it's always good to try and get it slightly organized so you can get a few decent photographs for the family.
My only tips is ask the family to take picture first.
Yeah.
And that's it. I don't have really special ways to do it.
No, I say let's get at least one good photo before we do anything else. before we even light the cake. Before we start singing, let's get at least one good photo.
Yeah.
So at least we've got something, and then if they can get some more good ones after we light the cake and sing the song. Yeah. So you have the birthday cake. And do the kids disperse having cake?
Yeah.
And you just sit in the corner and they come to you to have balloons?
Yeah.
Or do you have like all of them just rushing straight away for the balloons?
No, I don't want them to line up.
No.
So maybe a couple of kids, 2 or 3 at a time.
But and that just happens naturally because they've dispersed.
Once I start to put the palms out, kids will come.
Yeah.
I make the first balloon, more kids will come.
Right.
It comes naturally.
Right.
But sometimes 1 hour for a big party, I can't really make the beautiful balloon.
No, because say there's like 50 kids. Oh, sometimes there are. Sometimes you have like 50 kids. And
so
you only have 20 minutes, so it's like, okay.
I'll show the parents what I can make.
Yeah.
When they book me.
Yeah.
And then I'll ask them the number of kids, and I will say, okay, if you have 50 kids.
Yeah.
Or 20 kids, every kid's got 1 minute and a little bit.
All I can do is some really simple stuff. If you want more, maybe 2 hours would be ideal.
Right. Yeah.
So that I won't get bored.
Yeah, that's important, managing the expectations.
Yeah.
Because they might say, oh, but the last party, you made so many of these amazing princesses and whatever.
I can make princesses, but today
you were making dogs and swords. But today you have 700 kids.
yeah. And in Hong Kong, I don't know about Singapore or US, but in Hong Kong, like, the parents are picky.
They are, yeah.
Yeah, they always think, like, every magician can make a nice Elsa.
I think it's important to manage expectations. How do you get your bookings? Do people send you messages?
So when I got started, I just connect some agents.
Yeah.
And then they try me out, they say things is okay, they keep booking me. And now sometimes I got calls from parents.
Yeah.
They search me up or somebody refer me to them.
Yes.
I have no idea. So they know what to expect, sort of.
Yeah, so you would explain to them, look, if you've got a lot of children and you want the balloons, it can't be complicated balloons.
Mm.
That's a good tip. I like that.
My standard of complication may be a little bit different. Oh. I try to make something nice as well.
Yeah.
Try my best to make something nice.
Oh, okay.
Even I work overtime.
Oh, that's good for you.
So when I start earning money by
it is
making...
impressive. I wouldn't work overtime.
It's a bad habit. I totally understand that.
If they pay me for an hour, I would tell them, even if I haven't got another show, I'll say, look, I've got another show, I have to leave on time. Because sometimes they will take advantage of me, and I've done this for 25 years, and if for 25 years everybody wanted me to stay an extra 15 minutes, that would be hours and hours and hours I spent. Yeah, I try to stick to the hour.
But I just don't want to see that disappointed kids, like I still own them.
But also for me, I've given up doing balloons at birthday parties most of the time. So for me, I would do an hour of performance and performance party games. So I kind of end. It does have an ending, because if you're doing balloons, there's no way of knowing where the ending is.
Yeah,
carry on making balloons
and
balloons.
Right.
But my one, I have the show. I have them setting up playing the party games. It's all to music. And then there's one last game where they're lying down, and they give everybody a prize, and bang, that's it, I'm done. So it does have an ending, so they kind of understand.
You are right. Sometimes if I got like 1 hour magic show, that's 1 hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes I got 1 hour magic show.
And this is probably more than 1 hour.
Oh.
And you need to get the post office, don't you?
Yeah.
All right. Look, it's really, really good to talk to you, Scarlett.
Mm-hmm.
And if people want to find you, here we are, Magic Moment Entertainment. And if they just Google that, they will find you. Is that right?
Well, yeah, but you probably have to type Hong Kong as
Hong
well.
Hong Kong, okay.
And
we got
an icon on Google. And it's we use like a purple background.
Okay.
Yeah, with Art Deco.
Okay, then we'll see.
There's
you.
Some DJ from some other country called Ozuko Magic Moment Entertainment.
Okay, so search carefully, add in Hong Kong, and you will find Scarlett.
I'm very bad at advertising. I need to do some more stuff.
Hey, didn't
after
okay.
the trauma. Of
well,
Hong
I mean,
Kong.
After being on my podcast, you'll get so many thousands and thousands of inquiries now.
Oh, no.
No, you won't.
I can't entertain them all.
I don't think you will.
So.
I've been doing this for
Thanks,
5 years.
Mate.
At the top of my list here. These podcasts are commercial free. They are entirely supported by donations from listeners. If you'd like to make a donation, please transfer any amount, especially a large one. Supporters will receive a free gift. Nah, I don't think anybody's ever going to transfer money. But, it's a real pleasure to talk to you. If anybody does want to check us out, you can go to thebigbenshow.com/podcast. And if you want to be the first person to make a donation and support me, there is information there. Really good to talk to you. I'll let you get to the post office.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
Take care, buddy. Oh, I forgot to press record. Should we start again?
What?
I forgot to press record.
Press record?
I forgot to record it.